Are we ready for the war? Join your hands together and let us receive our pastor, Reverend Philemon. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.
Somebody says amen. Let's appreciate the apostle for that class. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, just turn around and just celebrate the person standing beside you, to the right and to the left. Let's celebrate one another. Please do it well. Let's celebrate one another. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Just before we take our seats, I want us to celebrate our spiritual parents, Dr. Abel and Rachel Damina. Hallelujah. We thank them for their labor. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. And how are you? How was your day? And how was the practicals? I said, how was the practicals? Oh, you didn't go? After this class. Amen. It's important that while you receive all this kind of teachings, that you seek for moments. And even if you don't have that kind of time, but you deliberately and intentionally seek for moments to just reach out and just put to practice some of those things you are learning. You know, just put them to work. Just do some practicals, okay? It's a good thing. It just makes you, you just have an opportunity to put to work the things that you are learning, right? So as we grow in knowledge, one of the things we do not cease to do is to just to stay in one place and not put to use the things that we are learning. Amen. All right, pioneering a walk. Yesterday in our class we began to look at why some are not saved. All right, and we say there are people that oppose the gospel. That's number one. We have seen that we have been asked to go and preach the gospel to all creatures, but there are those who are not saved. And anywhere you see a man who is not saved, it means one of these reasons could be why he or she has not come to the knowledge of the truth. And we say that number two, there are people that oppose the gospel based on the things they had learned or based on the things they are learning. Okay? And we look at the fact that there are some who have learned certain things either in religion or scientific informations that have made them to treat with negligence or treat with kid glove any information that is derived from the Word of God. And we also saw in the course of our teaching that there are those who are not reached at all with the gospel of Jesus. They have not had the gospel, and some of them are in religions, some of them have never even have had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And so there are different kinds of people. And so whenever we see that people are not saved, one of these three reasons could be the factor or the reason why they are not saved. Because everybody has been given the opportunity to hear and to receive the gospel. And of course, that tells us that we have the mandate and we have an assignment to reach out and win the world to Christ. Then we went on to look at who preaches the gospel. All right, and we were rounding off. Of course, everybody has been asked to preach the gospel, because when Jesus said in Mark's gospel 16:15-16:17 to go into the world and preach the gospel, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." All right, he when he said go, the word go, dear, was not just to the 12 at that material time, even though he was speaking to a number of persons, you know, in the course of his 40 days when he was with them before he left them. All right, so when he said go, that implies that they are to, that everybody has been instructed to go. And we saw a number of examples in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1, how that there was a man by the name Stephen. All right, from chapter 7, actually, in chapter 7, we saw the man Stephen. In chapter 8, we saw the man by the name Philip, who went to Samaria when there was persecution in Jerusalem, and only the apostles, in 8 verse 1 of Acts, the apostles remained in Jerusalem. But the man by the name, the believers, of course, were scattered abroad. And all of them that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. And in verse 5, he tells us that Philip went to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And then we saw from the scriptures or from the word that there are other examples. The second example was the man by the name Paul in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, and I think that was about where we stopped yesterday, right? In Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Is that a place?
Yes.
Acts 19, 8, right? So we saw that 19 verse 8. We're going to read that together. Praise God. And then we'll just take it up from there. Amen. All right, 19 verse 8 of Acts. Everybody, if you are there, can we read it together like a choir, clean and clear, want to go? And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of how long? 3 months, disputing and what? Persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Next verse. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he did what? Departed from them and separated what? The disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So this is what he did. He had to separate. He had to identify his crowd. You know, he had to identify his crowd. He had to identify his audience. All right. And paid attention to those who were opened to his teachings. All right. He identified his audience. There were those who probably didn't pay attention or probably did not take him serious. Right, but of course, we will always have people that take us serious. There will always be people that take us serious. Sometimes when you go out for evangelism, there are some times that people, you know, you just encounter some people. It's like they had breakfast with Satan. And when they begin to treat you in a way, they treat you like people that are walking in hatred, you know. They treat you like they are treating the devil. Sometimes you meet such people, and there are sometimes you meet people who actually are sincere, whose hearts are opened, and they just want to learn. I mean, they just want to hear, and they give you a hearing ear. So you must learn how to recognize your audience and recognize those who are open to your gospel and pay attention. You don't take them for granted. You don't create excuses and say, oh, I'm the one that don't have time. Oh, I didn't have time. That's why I didn't go. No, you don't create excuses. All right, you see to it that so long as they are available, you see to it that they have the opportunity of growing spiritually by the teachings that you are making available to them. Are we together? All right, so look at verse number 10 of that scripture. Verse number 10. Everybody, we're going to read that together. Clean, clear, I want to go. And this continued by the space of how long? 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. And let's read verse 20 together. Everybody clean, clear, want to go. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the word was growing. And of course, the word was growing. There were people who were given to the teachings of the word. When you hear that the word is growing, it is because there were people who we are given to the teaching of the word. Many people we are teaching. Many people we are teaching. He first of all started with 12, but it did not end with the 12. Okay? Paul paid attention on the 12, but it didn't end with the 12. It went beyond the 12. The 12 reached out to other people, and other people reached out to other people, and other people reach out to other people, and eventually the entire region was captured. He says, so mightily grew the word and it prevailed. Amen. I said, amen. So the act of separating the 12 was so that he could train them and teach them. The act of separating the 12 was so that he can train them and teach them. To train them and teach them. That was the first thing he did. To train them and teach them. Then all, of course, they all went back to the streets. They went back to the streets. They went all over the place to preach the gospel. Okay? They went all over. So he trained them. Please, one of the things you must always ensure is anybody who is around you, you always must ensure that such a person is trained. Don't allow untrained people around you. Don't allow people to linger around you for long without training them. Don't allow people to linger around. When anybody comes in contact with you for the first 1 week, in fact, for the first 1 week, training should begin. Training should begin. It doesn't matter how short the time, but training ought to begin. That is how we duplicate ourselves. That is how we multiply ourselves. That is how we raise leaders. That is how we raise disciples. Okay? You know, that's very, very important. Very, very important. So evangelism ought to therefore be a regular and continuous activity. Evangelism ought to be a regular and a continuous activity. And it is the responsibility of every believer. It is the responsibility of every believer. We have said it ought to therefore be a regular and continuous activity. And it is the responsibility of every believer. Of every believer. Glory to God. You know, Jesus created opportunity for the disciples to preach the gospel, right? You know, there was an opportunity. That was what he did. He gave them opportunity. He sent them. He sent them at different times and he gave them a message. He sent them and he gave them a message. He tells them, go. When he tells them, go, he tells them what to say. All right? So he always sent them. In the book of Luke's gospel, take note of the scriptures, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 1. Another scripture, the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse number 1. So in Luke chapter 9, verse number 1 and 2, he says, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he later chose 70 men amongst the multitude. Now, of course, first of all, there was a time he sent the 12. And there was a time he sent the 70. All right? Different times. Okay? Different times. He is sending them forth. All right? So he later chose 70 men amongst the multitude he was teaching and training them. Because you see, the teaching ministry of Jesus was not only restricted to the 12. Is that? It was not only restricted to the 12. Okay? He was teaching the 12. But remember, as people were added, he was teaching more people. So out of these more people he was teaching, he now sent a greater multitude. He sent a greater multitude. And I give an example. You know, I don't know. I often use Abak because we had the opportunity of starting from the scratch, you know, the work of ministry in that place. Okay? And I often say that we had about 7 people, myself inclusive, myself and 7 other persons, that we are engaged in evangelism at that time. Now, of course, when we started, it was a few people. But as people we are multiplying, we had more people. I remember one of the days we announced that the whole church was going out. And that day, you know, at that time, we were close to, I'm sure we were over 70 of those that came out to move out to go for evangelism. Far back then, a good number of people. And what we did was we had multiplied materials, okay? And we now divided ourselves into places. We now spread ourselves into town, and everybody took a particular location. We were like, you guys will face this side, you guys will face this side, you guys will face this other side. And everybody just went out, you know. And I still remember the joy in the faces of the people who were part of that assignment that day. Are we together here? Now, it's important to know that as the people multiply, they must understand that the culture in that family is a culture of soul winning. As the people multiply, they must understand, everyone must understand, that the culture of that family is soul winning. It's a culture. That is our lifestyle. It's our lifestyle. Everybody must understand that. Okay, everybody. So Jesus did not only send the 12, but in Luke's Gospel 10 and verse 1, he says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. All right, so we saw in Luke chapter 9 verse 1, 12. We see in Luke chapter 10 verse 1, 70. Are you following the discourse? So he sent them out in pairs with the same instruction to preach the gospel. Let's look at that 10 verse 9, and we're going to read it together. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 9. Luke's gospel chapter 10 and verse number 9. Glory to God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 9. Am I too fast? Are we on the same page? Glory to God. Okay, so Luke's gospel 10 and verse 9. Can we read that together? Everybody clean, clear, want to go. And heal the sick that are daring. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. All right. In other words, the kingdom of God is here, or the kingdom of God is at hand. All right. So he gave them a message. Now, in following this pattern, the local church ought to ensure that every member is involved in its cell group. The local church ought to ensure that every member is involved in its cell group. Every member is involved in its cell group. The local church has the ability. We look out, we look around, we watch, and we see to it that everyone, every member of the local church is involved or is part, or to, you know, is involved in its cell groups. That's why we have different cell groups. We have numerous cell groups, and we ensure that everyone belongs to a cell group. Okay? For many, many reasons. Of course, for effectiveness. Number one, for effectiveness. Secondly, we are able to know each other. We're able to know each other. And then, of course, it makes welfare very, very easy. Because in a local, in a cell or a house church, okay? In a cell or a house church, we have an opportunity to know each other. When somebody is missing, we know that this person was not around in the fellowship in the house, and we get to know each other. So if the person is not even in the major meeting or the small meeting, we can tell that this person is not around. We can watch over ourselves, and we can have some kind of oversight over ourselves. Why? Because it is a small group. It is a small group, so we can have oversight. We will know exactly what is happening. Are we together here? You know, so that's very, very important. That's very important. That is why the responsibility of every leader is to ensure and to look around. That one is not in a cell. All right? Let's go. Let's ensure. Let's get that done. You spot the ones that are not in cell, in a cell. You spot them and see to it that they are involved, that they are, or that they belong to a cell group. Amen? I said amen. And of course, so for effectiveness, members of such cell groups can be paired to go out into the street to preach, the street of the city to preach. Members of such group can be paired to go out. They can be paired together to go into the streets in the city to preach. Into the streets to preach. They can be paired together. Okay, it helps it to be effective. It helps it so that nobody is led to go home. Right? Say, my son, you have tried. You have tried, my son. Just go home straight. In fact, the one you did last week as cover for this week. Say, yet the Lord, go home, my son. Go and rest. Okay? The Holy Ghost will not do that. But you know, some people give, you know, sometimes when you tell people, and that's because understanding of people differ, okay? People's level of understanding differ. So some people just, they just disappear. But when you are two, okay, you go out in twos, it helps for effectiveness. It helps you to work together. I mean, it helps you as individuals, okay, where you are able to confront issues from different angles, okay? You're coming from this angle, the other person is coming from this angle, and nobody is tempted because you want to encourage each other. Everybody wants to just encourage each other. Okay, so everybody is involved. Everyone is participating. Okay? And everyone is working. And everyone is practicing. Okay? And that's why it's important that, you know, when you are leading people or when you are sending people, because all of you here are leaders. Hello? Okay, all of you here are leaders. So when you are sending people or when you are assigning people, you can pair them into two, in twos. Praise God. I say praise God. And then if you're going out also, except, you know, if it is a personal decision, all right, maybe you just woke up that morning and you felt like going out, or you just felt led to go to a particular place and just minister to people. But when we are doing it as a church, okay, get a partner. All right, not just because you need a partner, okay, but you have an opportunity to impact somebody's life who is observing the things you are doing. You have an opportunity, so you don't go alone. Every opportunity you have, let it be, you know, let it be an opportunity to educate somebody. Amen. Have you observed that people today, in these days of social media, everything has become content. Somebody wants to cook eba, and he says, this is how I made the eba. I boiled the water and I poured garri on top, and then I brought a spoon, and then I kept the spoon inside, then I brought another spoon and kept it this side. All right, and then I was looking at it. After 3 minutes, I took out the spoon and my garri became very nice. And the person will post it. And then you go and see 150 views. People have gone to look at what is going on there. Social media for you. Everything has become content. So people don't waste any opportunity. All right, any opportunity given, anything happening. The way you made your okra soup. Hamba, what has okra? But they are happy, they will visit it. If you like, stand up and be insulting people. People will visit. You know, so almost everything has become content. A child stands up and is learning how to walk, and then somebody has brought out a camera. Okay? As if he himself, everybody has, you, when you were learning how to walk, who brought out a camera? All right? But it has become content. And then some people will be like, ah, look at this baby. Oh, little baby. It has become content. Are we together here? I said, are we together here? What are we talking about? Don't waste your outings. See to it that somebody is learning from you when you go out. Okay? Don't waste your outings. All right? See to it. I'm sure you understand the waste here, the context of, okay? Waste. All right? So people should be able to learn from you anytime you go out, anytime you're walking. They should watch you. They should be able to learn and be trained by the things you're doing. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 2. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, you know, on the day of Pentecost, right? Peter preached a message, and that's where we have the first sermon in the book of Acts. Okay? Peter preached a sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. We're going to read verse 37 to 42. Everybody, we will get there and read it together. It was the first sermon. You know, he began to explain what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? In verse 17, 18, okay, 19 and on. And then he now gave a message from then he now began to preach to them and preach Christ unto them. And let's see the response. Let's look, see the response in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Are you there? Okay, if you're there, can I hear an amen? All right, let's read that together, everybody, loud and clear, one, two, go. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they heard what? Eh? Peter's preaching, right? Peter's preaching? Then they now ask, what shall we do? All right? Whenever you teach, you must teach to a point where the person wants a leading or direction. You teach the person until it's so clear. Okay. And the person wants direction. That was what happened in this case. Now let's look at verse 38 together. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he steadfastly exhort, saying, save yourself from this what? Untoward generation. With how many words? Many other words. It means it was not documented. There were words He gave explanations. He gave them teachings, robust information, enough to bring them to the place of persuasion. Amen. All right, so verse 41, can we read that together? Everybody clean and clear, want to go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. Oh my goodness. 3,000 souls? That's huge, man. In one day, glory to God. Verse 42. And what happened? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So at the temple, Peter, you know, so that was what happened. You can see that Peter preached and men were saved. Now, another instance, at the temple, Peter and John took advantage of the miracle to preach the gospel. They took advantage of the miracle to preach the gospel in Acts chapter 3. So we have another sermon that you would see after the miracle. You know, they took advantage of the questions that people were asking in Acts chapter 2, right? And they preached the gospel. Right? So in chapter 3, they also took advantage of what happened. Took advantage of the miracle to preach the gospel to the people. Acts chapter 3 verse 11. Hallelujah. You remember the man at the gate, beautiful, right? When they say, silver nor gold have I none, but such as have we not, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man arose and walked. Okay? So in verse number 11, we are going to read verse 11 to 13. Verse 11 to 13. Are you there? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we there? All right, so Acts 11, 3 and verse 11. Everybody, let's read together. One to go. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly unto us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Next verse. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Did you see that? So he went on with his preaching, and he was preaching and preaching from 3 into 4. Okay, where they called them and warned them. They warned them, don't speak again in that name. It was now in that chapter 4 that they now went back to their own company and reported that this is the threat we are having. And then they began to pray. And they began to pray that God will grant unto them boldness, that with boldness they will preach Christ. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The whole place was saturated with the manifestation of the supernatural. There was utterances granted unto them. Hello? All right. And they went forth and preached the word in chapter 4 with boldness. They preached the word. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preached the gospel. Do you see the sequence? In Acts chapter 4, verse number 1 to verse number 1 and 2. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preached the gospel. Amen. Let's see verse 1. Everybody, let's read it together. I want to go. And as they spake, I want us to take it again. Are we ready? All right, I want everybody to get there. All right, let's go together. I want to go. And as they speak unto the people, the priest and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the... The team pained them like this. Pained them. They are preaching about the resurrection. You know, there were some of them that went out to spread the lies that he never rose, that his disciples told him. They paid the guard, the security men, we are paid to move around and announce that Jesus never rose again. They wanted to shut the mouth of the gospel. Okay? That he never rose, because they knew the implication of his resurrection. So when these guys were talking about, they were so angry. Why were they angry? Because they talked about the fact that they preached Jesus and they preached his resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So as a continuing expression of that discipleship that was received, that practice of preaching the gospel was seen also in Acts chapter 5. Okay? In Acts chapter 5, the practice of that preaching was seen in Acts chapter 5. So did we see in Acts chapter 1? You see the sequence? You see the way we are going? Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, right? Chapter 5 and verse number 41. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 41. Can we read that together? Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. And hey, let's take that together. One more time. Are you ready? Let's read it together. Want to go. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to what? To teach and to do what? And to preach Christ. In the temple, in every house. Okay? So there was public worship and there was church in the home or in the house. Okay? In Acts chapter 5 verse 41. 42? 41. Was that 42 we read? Oh, so praise God. I need to correct that. Amen. So 42. Can we read 42 together? One, two, go. Hallelujah. Daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to do what? To preach and to teach Jesus. So Jesus was the message and nothing else. Okay? Jesus and nothing else. Let's look at in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Alright, in Acts chapter 6, notice something. They reinforced the introduction to stay with the ministry of the word. They reinforced the introduction to stay with the ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 6, they reinforced the instruction to stay with the ministry of the word. Nobody was doing koboko service. Nobody was doing perfume service. Nobody was doing coconut service. Nobody was doing fruit service. Nobody was doing avocado service. Was there anything like avocado service? Avocado? Eh? 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 Apple service, eh? The way some of you are, it's like you have attended some of them before. Which one did you attend? Eh? Sigh! So instead of Holy Ghost service, it was Koboko service. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's even suya night. You just go and eat suya. And people will gather. Hi! Poverty is wicked. People will gather just to eat suya. The motivation is there will be suya. And the suya at the end of the day is just one stick. Maybe one stick. Because that crowd, no matter the number of cows, there will be suya in the service. Well, that tells you that whenever you see that, that tells you that we need to get more light to those people. All right? Because Jesus died for everyone. And the eyes of people will have to be open to the reality of the truth, because that is not consistent with the apostolic foundation that has been laid. Are we together? So that's very important. So we see that they reinforce what took us to that. They reinforce the introduction to stay with the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. We're going to read from verse 4 to verse number 7. Acts chapter 6 verse 4 to verse number 7. We're going to read that together. Hallelujah. 6 and verse number 4. Are we there? All right, so let's read verse 4 together. Everybody, clean, clear, want to go. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were what? Obedient to the faith of Christ. Great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Okay, obedient to the faith. Why? The word of God increased. The word increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. So when you hear the word increase, it means every member of Power Bible School was engaged in soul winning. Everyone. So there was multiplication of men and women, on, you know, boys and girls from every quarters, you know, cutting across every denomination, you know, cutting across, you know, any form of ethnic group and all of that. And people were just preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. So increase is as a result of obedience to preach. Increase is as a result of obedience to preach the gospel. As a result of obedience to preach the gospel. So in Acts chapter 8, Philip preached in Samaria, and a change, and of course a change of location provides yet another opportunity to preach the gospel, right? We have established that. Because when he had a change of location, he went for to preach in another location. All right? And we saw that in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, where he went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. And of course, verse 6 says, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Okay? So it was not just the preaching of the gospels, but there was, you know, the manifestation of miracles. And listen to me, if you want to see miracles, just go out and preach. Minister to people. Do you understand? You want to see miracles, just go out, go to the field. You know, just preach, minister to people. In the course of that, when you meet the sick, you lay hands on them, cast out the devils. When you meet the sick people, don't be thinking, just lay hands. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? They shall recover. So when you come across such people, don't even think twice. Because in that assignment, as you are carrying out that assignment, he is confirming his words with signs following. He confirms his word. He confirms his word. So when you speak the word, you must be too persuaded to a point where you are not terrified, where you are not intimidated by any manifestation of darkness. So you put things in perspective anywhere you are found. Amen. You will do miracles. Amen. You will cast out devils. Amen. You will heal the sick. Amen. I see you casting out devils. Amen. I see salvation becoming a norm in your life. Amen. Wherever you are found, men are moving from darkness to light. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Please sit down. Let's continue. Hallelujah. Say with me, I preach the gospel. I am committed to preaching all my life. Say amen to that. So we see that he went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. So it must have taken days or weeks to reach the whole city of Samaria. All right? It must have taken days, weeks to reach the whole city of Samaria. It must have taken days or even weeks to reach the whole city of Samaria. A long time. Long time. Long time. It was not one night. It was not overnight. It was not hit and run. So it implies that Philip persisted with it. He persisted. He kept doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Now notice something here. Practically, in reaching the unsaved, it is important to get the attention of individuals. In reaching the unsaved, it's important to get the attention of individuals. It's important to get the attention of individuals. Okay. Can somebody be looking at you and not pay attention? Is it possible? All right, so it's not necessary that the man is going out. And you say, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. No, even as you are seated with him, it's important that you have his attention. All right? That's very important. And one can take advantage of discussions as Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. And most importantly, we are to practice one-on-one evangelism. One-on-one. Okay? Take advantage of discussions. As Philip did with the eunuch. Take advantage. And practice to meet with people one-on-one. Where you are sharing with the person. You explain to him. You talk with him. You engage. You share. Hallelujah. How many of you discover that the more you go out to reach out to people, the better you become, even in your delivery? Is that so? Right, so that tells you that if you make it a practice, that after a while, it's impossible for anyone. You know, there are some nets. When a fish has entered, it's one chance. Eh? Eh? Okay. Don't worry. Some of you, maybe those of you that have done fishing before, you may understand. There are some nets. When the fish has entered, it has entered. There is no escape. No way out. It has entered. It's called one chance, eh? Is it one chance? Hello? I hope I'm right. Is it one chance? I don't know what you're talking about. Praise God. So we had to practice one-on-one evangelism. Did we say that? Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Let's look at that. Acts 8, 26. We are looking at how they preach, the sequence of the administrations and the outcome. All right? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Can we read that together? Are you ready? From verse 26, we will read to verse 35. It's a long rendition, so get ready. Are you ready? Verse 26, let's read it one to go. And the angel of the Lord spake unto him, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of her and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Next verse, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So who said to Philip? The Spirit. So sometimes the Spirit can interrupt you and say, go. Don't say, Satan, pack your load and go. Satan, pack your... No, Satan will never tell you to go and preach to another. Amen? Say, no, Kai, No, I will. No. Don't even allow the as you are receiving the leading, just move at once. Because sometimes too much analysis leads to paralysis. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen. Sometimes too much analysis, where you analyze, should I not, and you are just picturing, suppose I can actually do it, and then you are just looking for an excuse to just ignore that mandate and that instruction, whereas the Spirit wants to carry out something. Imagine if Stephen had not gone to meet the eunuch. The man would have gone. He was reading a passage of the scriptures and he didn't know what it was talking about. How did we know he did not know? Because he asked the question. What is this talking about? Amen. Let's finish that rendition. Let's finish that rendition. Where are we? Verse what? Verse 29? Verse what? 29, right? Okay, so after the Spirit told him to go near, verse 30, let's read together. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophets. Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Next verse. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, who? Jesus. Did you see that? From the same scripture. He didn't say close it, let's go to another part. Mm-mm. From the same scripture. So as an individual, you must master the art of ministering from any scripture, either from the Old Testament or the New Testament. Because if the Old Testament is Jesus or Christ concealed, then it means we can preach Christ from the books of the Old Testament. But how did it happen? Because Philip was discipled. Philip was discipled. He was among the people that received Christ on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So among those that got that, you know, he was among the people, that congregation who were discipled. Obviously, there was discipleship that took place. And eventually you could see that they were the people who were full of knowledge, and they were able to dispense the same at every given opportunity. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we following? See Paul's emphasis in Acts 20 verse 20. We saw it the other day. And Acts 20 verse 20, Paul was talking and he said something. He said, how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Okay? Paul's emphasis. Paul is emphasizing that he taught the word, not just publicly, but from house to house. Amen. Amen. Okay, take note of something. In a situation where I meet one who opposed the gospel, I must be gentle as I preach. You remember we said the other day that when you're going for evangelism, you must really, really allow the fruit of the Spirit manifest or find expression. So now we are saying that anywhere I meet a man or one who opposes the gospel, I must be what? Be gentle as I preach. In that gentility, I allow the person to see the fact of the gospel. In that gentility, I allow the person to see the fact of the gospel. So you have to be patient. Be patient with him. Patient with her. Amen. Because some may insult you and they say that your Jesus is a fool. Your Jesus. How do I know? It happened many years. I think I shared it in the last Bible school, how somebody went out for evangelism. And it's evangelism turned to a fight. Because somebody was speaking about his Jesus anyhow, and he forgot that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hey Jesus. Funny enough, and he came to church and gave testimony how God helped him to beat somebody out when he went out for evangelism. Where?
In this place, here. I remember he was wearing a white native that day. A white native, you know? And he was giving a testimony many years ago. He carried this guy because the guy was insulting Jesus. He carried him up and showed him up. You know the way you show somebody to God? See your product and landed him on the floor to the glory of God. And when he came, his testimony was that God gave him victory in the fight. When you behave like that, you have lost that soul. That soul. Except another. You have lost that one. Just take note, you have lost that one. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, now you are perfected in the flesh. Amen. We're stopping here for today. So what we are saying is that you must be gentle. Alright? You must be gentle. Cultivate the understand that the fruit of the spirit must be allowed to flow. You are gentle, no matter how hostile they are, how insultive they are. You must ignore that and maintain your focus. Still love them because God so loved the world. Praise God. I say praise God. I'm going to just answer a few questions if there are, and then we continue tomorrow. Amen. Glory. And then just before, while answering the questions, please see, you can be seated. While answering the questions, somebody requested to know the number of, you know, what books to read. Okay, I can add this. You can get this book, additional materials, Eternal Salvation. I'm sure some of you should have that book by now, Eternal Salvation. And then the book, Evangelism Ready. There is a book, Evangelism Ready. Okay, and then number three, the message of the cross. Okay, the message of the cross, because it deals with the core of our message, the message of the cross. And then you can add this number four, welcome to God's family. Welcome to God's family aids you to be able to have enough tools and materials for discipling people. Welcome to God's family. Of course, we have the discipleship manual. Okay, all right, so those are materials that you can get for additional study. Praise God. Please, if there's any question, let's answer them. Any question? Any question? Yes, please.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay, my question is, in terms of pairing, like going two by two, what's the effective way of involving the two persons when ministering the word to a soul?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Okay, I said, in terms of going out for evangelism two by two,
yeah.
I'd like you to tell us or me how to effectively minister when you are two. For example, that now when we go out, like the last time we went, sometimes it's just one person talking. So how do we do it so that both will also, you know, participate in Okay. Evangelism, sir.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, sir. Okay, so this is what you do. When you go out as an individual, you see, whenever you are ministering, also know that you have a second. Okay, except if the person is a new convert already. But if it is like in a group like this, you know that everybody should have something to say. So if you have an opportunity, when you speak sometimes for like 5 minutes, there is a way you walk amongst yourself. You know, maybe when you talk for like 5 minutes, you can like, you know, I know my brother has something to say. Okay, I know my sister has something to say. Then you can take it up from there. Okay, you can take it up from there. And you see, when you are talking, you already know where he or she has stopped. All right, so you will not come and start repeating what he or she has said. Okay, when you come, you will come with your own delivery, maybe coming from another angle, all right, and just declare. What is important is it's the same message. Do you understand? Yeah, you don't just start talking, and then when you are talking, it's like, ah, wait, face, you are not anointed. Like, this one is not anointed. You know, no. You know, we give up opportunity to one another. Amen?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Praise God.